Hi there, I'm Amy Griffiths and I'm one of the journalists in Manx Radio's newsroom and you're listening to Newscast.
Claire Christian, the Minister for Health and Social Care. It's been a month since I was first invited to the MSC meeting. We worked immediately with Manx Care to look at mitigations that could be implemented for the points that the MSC were raising quite rightly. We have worked over the past couple of weeks as well, myself obviously attending the ED department, and I'm very grateful for the time to have spent with the ED team. We've looked obviously at the data that's been coming through as well to sort of validate all the concerns that have been raised. And Manx Care, Manx Care leadership team, working in conjunction with them, have come up with several mitigations to help the situation within the ED department. But I think what's really, really important and the reason for the rapid review is that we need to make sure that those mitigations are sufficient and that we can identify further actions that might be required. And I think what's really also important is that this review, just to say that it's going, we are going to work with, so it will be an independent review, but I have specifically said I want to make sure the subject matter experts, which is the frontline clinicians, the medical staffing committee, the Manx Care Board, the BMA as well, they are all linked in this review, and it will be a very quick, hopefully sort of 10-day timeline once we obviously approve who will do that. And as I said, that it's really to give that public assurance. My colleagues and Tim will, that members of that assurance, that we are taking control of the situation and making sure that the ED and the bed capacity is absolutely what's right for the island.
Because just how concerned were you by the comments of the MSC? I mean, this wasn't just a random social media user. This was 75 of the island's leading doctors and consultants we're talking about here. So just how concerning were those comments to you?
I think it's absolutely correct to say that obviously it's not normal, the situation where the minister is invited to the MSC meeting. So I obviously knew, that there was going to be some very serious issues raised. There were issues raised across the board, so not just in terms of ED, there were other serious issues that were raised. And obviously there are ongoing work to work through those issues as well. I think that what this demonstrates for me is actually this is how things should work. We should be working closer aligned with the subject matter experts and the clinical teams. They should be able to speak to their minister, and I should be able to. We live in the Isle of Man. We don't have this huge NHS system. We should be able to be agile like that, and be able to speak and be informed correctly of the situations, and to be able to react to that and to make sure that they're heard and they're listened.
And have you actually met with the MSC since this all came to light?
So the Manx Care Board have met with the MSC in their board, one of their board meetings. I think that was the last on 25th of March, I'd have to confirm that, but it was towards the end of last month. And obviously we've had our quarterly board meeting last week with Manx Care, which was where we discussed with them about the rapid review. So now obviously we will be liaising. Once we've appointed who will do that, we'll be liaising with the MSC and most importantly with the staff.
So you talk about the sort of this decision still to decide who exactly is going to be conducting the review. It is going to be independent, but what does rapid mean, and when are we going to be able to see the results, and when is this review going to take place?
So we're obviously at the initial stage of appointing. I've asked for it to be, I know that the the people that have been put forward do have the capacity to do it. So obviously that's really important. I've asked for it to be, you know, conducted in a 10-day quick rapid report. 10 week would be rather long. 10-day rapid review, so that we can see that and make sure that then we can put in any additional mitigations that are needed. But I really, really, for me, it's validating what the mitigations that we've outlined in terms of the CDU. So there was a couple of areas. So there was the 12-bed CDU, which is the clinical decision unit, which will be really important piece of work. So instead of somebody who comes in to present themselves to A&E, they can go to one of these clinical decisions units, one of the spaces there. It's not a bed, but it's a space where if it's a certain, you know, they don't need to be admitted to a bed. It could be something that is easy for them to diagnose, you know, and to treat in these spaces. This is really, really positive. They have these CDUs obviously in the UK as well. So this is something that the ED department are really looking forward to seeing that take place. The other part of it is that we are looking at increasing the acute beds by 14. So we're looking at how we can increase that and putting that in place. So these are the mitigations that they've set out already. And also the mobile unit up back in Ramsey. And that's one of the reasons coming back, you know, circling back round to why now, why have we found ourselves in this position? And that's because of the extra pressures that obviously with closing temporarily Ramsey District Cottage Hospital to deal with the infestation situation up in the north. Obviously that has put exceptional more pressures on Nobles. And so we have turned around very quickly because the work is going to take longer to rectify up there. You know, there's more work to be done on the roof, etc. I'm not the technical person to kind of go into that, but we recognise that we can't keep putting the pressure on Nobles. So getting a mobile unit up in the north, which will be operationalised mid-May, and that will also really help with the impact in terms of what's happening at Nobles. So I understand, you know, I mentioned earlier, Amy, that, you know, patients, you know, since they, you know, when they saw me in the ED, when, you know, that obviously there's been a lot more press around this, you know, patients have contacted me directly. And so I'm really, really wanted to sort of show to the public that what we are doing to communicate that to them. That we are working together to resolve this situation, as this is really important.
So is this review going to take place before or after RDCH is back and up and running and operational again?
Ideally, I would say hopefully before, but obviously with the timing, you know, I've got to confirm that obviously with the who the company who we choose. So the timings will have to be confirmed, but I would ideally like that before, yes.
In which case then starts to put us in TT territory, and obviously plan procedures and things like that are suspended during TT, but one of the MSC's biggest concerns was that hospital capacity is insufficient to safely support the simultaneous demands of ED and also planned surgical procedures. But if the review finds considerable capacity issues, could that put the TT at risk?
So we have, in the sense that what the mitigations have been put in place will absolutely secure the TT, and we have committed to that. I'm not just looking just at the TT and resolving that problem. I'm looking at resolving the problem, you know, in the short term and the longer term. So we know that the mitigations that we have put in place will make sure that, you know, there is no effect to the TT. But what I am looking at this is in the bigger picture, Amy, and I think that that's really important, that we don't just look at resolving a situation and making sure that for TT.
So do you personally have any concerns about how Nobles Hospital is being run at the moment?
I think one of the things that you know, I experienced certainly from my time when I went into the ED department was it was an incredibly humbling experience. The staff there are absolutely dedicated and are working to the best of their ability. I absolutely have you know, confidence in, you know, this you know, the fact that Nobles is safe. You know, you absolutely will get the care that you need. And what's important is that that the public are reassured about that. And I, you know, I, as I said, I'm very humbled by the work that the staff do and how they help and assist patients on the Isle of Man. But I will be the first person to also say that, you know, when I saw the waiting times in the ED department, it is just not acceptable. And that is the point that we are trying to resolve, those ED waiting times. And I'll be the first person to admit that that's not what we should be providing. We should be providing a lot better service.
In a very simplistic form, at the moment, the way that it's structured is that DHSC deals with policy and Manx Care oversees operations and delivery. But if the review comes back and the results of it are poor, what are you going to do to address it? And at what point will DHSC step in and take charge?
So let's first of all say that obviously we are taking charge of the situation right now by putting in this rapid review. We're taking responsibility and we are, in the sense, you know, working, as I said, working with Manx Care and working with the clinicians. In answer to your question, we are looking for the assurance, and then with the assurance, this report will give us additional solutions if needed, and that will be accepted if those solutions are needed. As I said, those will be accepted hopefully by Manx Care to operationalise. So I think before we you know, the cart before the course, the horse before the cart, I think let's get the rapid review. What we're doing is we're taking the steps to make sure we get that assurance, and also this review will give us other options if needed. And that is working up. That's not just somebody independent coming up with that. That will be working with the clinicians to look at other options. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what's really important here. So they are in control of being able to assist with this situation. And that is where the MSC really stepped in to sort of assist us with that and assist with Manx Care with that.
Now, fixing these problems, it's going to come at a cost. We already know that the ED currently isn't fit for purpose and is going to need to be made bigger. So we already know that that is something that is in the pipeline. But in the current climate and with the current financial pressures, one, can government afford to fix them? And amid constant conversations of efficiency, is it willing to?
So we absolutely take the budget absolutely. You know, we have a critical focus team on that now, within the a joint team that's been set up. I'm calling it the 404 committee, which is obviously the 404 is the budget, and that's a joint committee that's with Manx Care and with the Department of Health and Social Care. This committee will be looking at in more detail and working, making sure that where we are and do have additional needs and source and needs for funding, we look at what levers we can pull to resource that and to fund that. But also, you know, for example, for the mobile unit, which is up in Ramsey, we've been able to access the contingency fund with the Treasury for that. We did that rapidly within 48 hours, and I'm very thankful to the colleagues in Treasury for moving that very fast for us to be able to do that. So, you know, we do have access, but we are obviously very, very mindful of what pressures and what levers we can pull to support this.
I suppose, ultimately, do you think that this issue and this conversation raises questions about how the model of Manx Care is working? And do you think that it's fit for purpose to operate the island's health and social care services?
It's a really good question, Amy. This brings us back to the governance review, which if some members of the public might not have heard about, some members are very aware about. So obviously the governance review looked at that relationship between Manx Care, the department, and also shared services. And we brought back our response to that. We are moving forward with option three, which is to bring the two, so Manx Care and the DHSE and shared services more aligned and working together. We will be bringing back in June to Tynwald, to members of Tynwald, our plans for how that should look and how that will work. But we have committed to, within that governance review, there were fundamentals that were agreed in Tynwald that we are already working on. So I talked a little bit about, just a minute ago, I talked about the committee in terms of a finance committee. That is already one of the outcomes that we are hoping will resolve in better working line together. It's really important that I do state that Manx Care should operationally keep their independence. There is absolutely, in my eyes, you know, I as a politician, I shouldn't be involved in any clinical decisions or who gets what care, etc. So operationally, that's really, really important that Manx Care keep that autonomy. But in terms of the policy and the strategy, we need to be more aligned. But what I will say is there will always be overlap. For example, you know, Manx Care do need to liaise with us when there are operational changes that need to happen. For example, the situation that's happening up in Ramsey District Cottage Hospital, we need to get our services back up there. They do need to work with us, and they are, but we need to work together and to be able to resolve that. They can't work in isolation, so there will be overlaps in these areas. But you know, those sort of examples are really good examples of where we are working very closely together, and that, I think, is improving.
So do you think that the relationship between DHSE and Manx Care is good enough at the moment?
Absolutely. I think it's better than ever. I think that we, you know, very much so, in the sense that we are all open and we all know that we have to work together and we have to improve. Absolutely.
Thank you for making it to the end of the Manx Radio newscast. You are obviously someone with exquisite taste. May I politely suggest you might want to subscribe to this and a wide range of Manx Radio podcasts at your favourite podcast provider, so our best bits will magically appear on your smartphone. Thank you.